So welcome everybody. Now, is that picking me up? Does my sound guy have to adjust it? Can we all hear me? Yep. Oh, now, I think most of you know me and Paul, but for those that don't know, my name's Caroline Mulroney. My mum and auntie are here. This was my home church. And my husband Paul and I are itinerant pastors with C3 Stand in Langford. And it's our heart for country communities to just go and encourage and cheer on and do what we can to just help out. Now, I know Paul shared last time we were here how busy we are. It's just a... Yeah, our modern world, it's so in need, and it's a growing need. But fortunately for us, we've only got one more speaking engagement. We get to have a rest ourselves, like Auntie Pat gave testament to. But excitingly, at our home church, Paul gets to share the first message of the year in 2026. So that's exciting. Now, C3 Stand sends you greetings. May the holiday season be a time of blessing and connection for you. So as I said, Kubelling Uniting knows me. It was my home church growing up. Paul and I were married here. And you've watched our family grow from afar. Our sons, Chris and Aaron, their wonderful wives, Christy and Kirsty, our granddaughters, Joanna and Shanae, and soon Aaron and Kirsty are going to have their little one. We're very blessed. We're very blessed. Now, what you may not know about us, and I don't actually remember it as a conscious decision, but I suspect it was when Chris was an infant, our aim as parents became to make independent individuals. It wasn't that we wanted them to grow up too fast or wanting them out of our lives. No, the opposite, in fact. We wanted them to be equipped with the tools for life and to know how to use them. Our baby name was Little Man, a recognition that in these little human beings, there were men that God had designed. And we were given the task, with God's help, to bring that man out. Now, we did think that maybe we were doing too good a job. We're at the kindy gate. I've got it from here. And that was both of them. But we knew that we were doing well. Through high school, after school camps, their teachers came to us and said how well they had done. It was a This Is Life camp. Don't quote me on the name, but the concept was they were split into groups, they were given money, and they had to plan and budget that week. And they had to go and get the food themselves and self-cater. Some teams ended up hungry, starting with lollies and fast food. Others lived well on nourishing food and still had money for treats. So the Bible, from beginning to end, is quite clear. God wants to be in relationship with us. From the garden with Adam and Eve, through the Old Testament following the family of Israel, to the New Testament with Jesus, God wants to partner with us. And he wants us to partner with him. And our human relationships, parent and child, marriage, and even mateship, our friends, they are all reflections They all mirror God with us. Do you know where you fit in? Do you know who you are? And can God's word help us know about ourselves? I think it does. Let's pray. Lord God, Father, thank you for our time together today, a time to worship you, to learn something more about you and about ourselves. Open our mind and hearts to take it in, Holy Spirit. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our Bible readings today, they can be a bit alarming, a bit scary. There was a lot of end time theme about that. When's this stuff going to happen? What is going to happen exactly? Will we be able to cope? Matthew 24 has Jesus speaking about coming tribulations. Looking back in history, the first proved to be 70 years later when the temple was destroyed. Jesus points out that many tribulations will come over time, and how people will use it to say the Messiah's returned. But don't be deceived. In today's reading, no, nobody knows the hour, but the Father, when the Son will return. Therefore, verse 44, be ready, be ready. Are we left floundering by ourselves? No. Isaiah and Psalms encourage us. He will teach us to walk his ways and we will walk in his paths. They encourage us and cheer us on. God is with us. Yes, there'll be troubles, but God is with us and peace will come. And we come to our last passage today, Romans 13, verse 11 to 14. And I'm reading from New King James. Romans chapter 13, 11 to 14. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of the darkness and let us put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfil its lusts. What does this mean? Salvation is nearer? Aren't we saved already when we know Christ? Yes, we are saved. The Apostle Paul isn't saying that we're not. He is describing a tension that we have to live with. God is with us and God is coming again. Two things are true at the same time. Jesus talked about it as the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of God is coming. It's like this. Jesus in our hearts, the kingdom is here. He's with us. But the world around us, is still broken. The kingdom of God is yet to come, and we are still living in the world. Two truths. We are saved, and salvation is a process. In that God's grace sanctifies us through a lifelong process. And we learn this day by day, what it is to be saved, what being saved means and how it changes us. We learn day by day what to be saved means and how it changes us. So returning to our passage, verse 11, and do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The Apostle Peter talks about this as well. 1 Peter 1:5. Those who hope in Christ Jesus are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The Passion Translation puts it like this. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. Wow. The power of God constantly guards us. So I suspect that in your readings you've been working through the book of Romans. So how did the Apostle Paul bring us to this point of Romans 13? Romans, it's a very methodical book. He lays it out as logically as he can. The opening chapters, using the law of the Torah as the measuring stick, we see how destitute we are. We need help. And Romans 3 brings that hope. God has a plan. God has the solution. Romans 3 from verse 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Christ Jesus to all and on all who believe. There is no difference, verse 23, since all have sinned and continually fall short of the glory of God. Being justified, verse 24, being justified by his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Fancy word to say he paid the penalty. By the propitiation of his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed and demonstrates at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So God has satisfied the legal requirements of the law, and our way to relationship with him is open. So do we stay in the mud? The way is open. Do we know who we are? We are to learn day by day what to be saved means and to learn how it changes us. Romans 6 shows us the contrast. We were slaves to sin, set free, and now we're slaves of righteousness. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanliness and of lawlessness led to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So living in holiness brings more holiness. That's cool. Is this change of direction easy? No. The Apostle Paul himself testifies how hard it is in Romans 7. What I want to do, I don't do it. What I don't want to do, I do that. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The struggle is not easy, but Romans 8 assures us the transaction is done. Nothing can separate us from God any longer. Verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And we'll skip to the end of the chapter, verse 37 and 38. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come, not height, not depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, I think he's got it covered there. We live with two truths. God has saved us. God is saving us. We recognize the day-to-day struggle tries to hide him. Often we know here that God has us, but do we know here that God has us? We know here he's got us. Do we know here? Do you know who you are? Do you know how God sees you? Let's quickly ponder the story of the prodigal son. I'm not going to read through it again, but it's in Luke 15 if you want to check it out again. The parable is commonly known as the prodigal son or the lost son. It's actually more about the nature of God, the forgiving father. But have you ever wondered why the older brother is in the story? So the younger brother has come home. He's been squandering and partying, and he's learned the error of his ways. God puts on a huge party, and the older brother refuses to join in. And so the older brother answered and said to his father, "Though all these years I have been serving you, I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a goat, a young goat, that I could make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours," hear the contempt, "as soon as this son of yours come who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him." And the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." The older brother didn't know who he was. He defined himself as a good son and worked diligently and obediently, but he didn't know he was loved by the Father. He was caught up in earning love and couldn't see what was wrong with it, and he couldn't see what was in front of him. Do we know who we are? Will it change what we do and how we do it? How do we learn who we are? How can we know how God sees us? We come to Romans 12. We renew our mind. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're in that daily process again. And we come to our passage today, Romans 13, 11 to 14. So verse 11, it's time to wake up. Salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So we've just reminded ourselves from Romans, God is our salvation. And we understand more about God today than when we first believed. We are deeper in this relationship with him. We are closer to being one with him. Verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of the darkness and let us put on the armour of light. So Romans throughout the book is jam-packed, full of practical, everyday living tips. Even in the verses preceding today's passage in Romans 13, like pray for your leaders. How are we doing with that one? Most of us are very bad at it. We like whinging, but we don't like praying for them. But pray for your leaders. Live in love for one another. So many more. Do we know who we are? How does that change our choices? So let's think about it like this. What challenges are you facing? Are you lonely? Are you alone? God says, I am with you always. Jesus in the Gospels said, I am with you always. Lord God, thank you that your word says you are with me always. Open my heart to know and feel your presence. Open my eyes to see people around me. Guide me to people that I can trust and have fellowship with. Have you suffered injustice? Has this left you bound by unforgiveness? Matthew 18:18, Jesus tells us, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will be loosened in heaven. It is wrong that you have suffered an injustice. But if we can't forgive, it's us that's being harmed. And God's there saying, you can trust me. I have your best at work. No, I didn't want you to suffer. I wasn't the one that caused it. Being in a broken world did that. But this is my word, Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, that all things work together for the good of God who loves you, to all those who are called according to his purpose. So Father is saying to us, forgive them so that I can heal you, and leave them up to me. Maybe you identify with the Apostle Paul. What a wretched man I am. I do what I don't want to do. What I want to do, I don't. Well, again, the Word of God tells us He brings new mercy every day. We might have stuffed up again, but He says it's okay. Let's start again. My mercies are new every day. And probably a bit more often. Are you tired? Are you weary? Jesus tells us that He wants to share our burden. Father tells us He brings new strength every day, His strength. We can rise like eagles on the wind. If we know who we are in Christ and what we have, it changes our choices. It changes our actions. The older brother didn't know what he had. If he knew, he would have done his daily work out of relationship and not obligation. He would have enjoyed the provision of his father and enjoyed a party with his mates without waiting for that attaboy, without waiting for a reward gift. The story of the forgiving Father is yelling at us from the rooftops. I'm not like tradition tells you. This is the real me. Do we know who we are? How will it change us? So when we bring up our children, does the relationship end when they leave school? No. It's lifelong. And we hope and pray that they will never feel alone, that our door is always open to help, to teach, to love, and to receive that back. Our human relationships show us God. His door is always open. While salvation is transacted, a done deal, our learning to live in God's grace and His heaven on earth is a lifelong process. He is with us every step of the way, especially when we think He isn't. So let's go through our passage again. Know what the time is. Wake up from our sleep. Know that salvation. Know that the Lord is near. The day is at hand, so put on the armour of light. Let us walk properly as it is the day. Verse 13 and verse 14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Put on Christ. Take what we have learned and put it on like a coat. It's a daily choice to tune into Him, to ask what He wants us to do, to hear His voice and obey. Let your past experiences of when you've done that and when you haven't retrain your mind. Trust that He is working for our good. Trust that He is working for our good. Back at the start, we acknowledged that the theme of the readings is end times, and we asked, will we cope? The short answer is yes. We can face the tribulation like any other day of troubles, with God's help and knowing ourselves with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are doing this thing called life with us. You know it is hard. We know that there are joys around us, but as you know, the hard wants to hide them from us. Help us to know who we are in you, to know in our heads and hearts how much you love us, and to allow that to transform us inside and out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mm-hmm.